This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You know what I mean? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You see, because I don't want no gold watch for working 50 years from 9 to 5. Oh, while the boss is guzzling champagne and I'm building beer in some dive.
Welcome back. Wow, that's really good music. A little Lou Rawls for you here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Cardinal broadcaster Mike Claiborne has just texted me a real good thought on why NBA players make what they make. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But let's welcome to the program from Edmonton Television, a real star in that market, Gene Principe, covers the Oilers. Gene, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, Frank. Heck of an intro. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Boy, we have so much to discuss. You have our old coach, and I imagine, especially from a television point of view, you are absolutely loving having Ken Hitchcock around.
Well, with Ken pretty much after hello, he takes over. it's incredible. You know, we've had a string of coaches here. The Oilers have, you know, had some coaching changes over the years, and we've had some incredible hockey people and incredible talkers, and you know, put them together, and it's a fantastic combination for those of us on TV. But Ken might be the king. I mean, he has such a lengthy history in life, in hockey, and he's seen a lot, done a lot, experienced many things, and he is not afraid at all to share it with people. And you saw it, Frank, when Edmonton was in St. Louis recently, and you showed up with a camera, and he was holding court with probably 8, 10, 12 people. And there wasn't much talking from us, but a lot coming from Ken.
And that is off the ice. On the ice, you are, I guess, 9-3 with him now. And then the big stat, though, is goals allowed. 2.50 goals allowed with Hitch. And it was up in the 3.30 without Hitch. How about that?
Yeah, big difference. I mean, Ken is known for many things, but I think one of the characteristics he would start with would be defensive hockey. And he's been able to kind of mold the Oilers into a more defensive-minded unit. He believes, like so many coaches, that offense starts with defense, and it really hasn't hurt the Oilers too much offensively. They are scoring more in the, you know, 3-goal range, sometimes 4. They had 1 7-goal game, but they've been winning a lot of 1-goal games, and he's had some good goaltending with it, but they just seem a little more unified defensively, particularly when they're in their own zone. And I think, Frank, that's why you've seen such a drop in goals against.
What did you hear when this was happening? Because the Blues were making a coaching move. Did Edmonton know that that was a possibility and they just struck first? Or how do you see that, how it all unfolded?
Yeah, because basically I think it was the 19th when Mike Yeo was let go. And the next morning, early the 20th, Todd McLellan was let go. So it was a quick back-to-back. And in fact, I believe when the story broke, Frank, the way it was broken was, I don't want to say by accident, but from what I understand, the Hitch was being contacted about the Blues job and whether he would take over the Blues job. And then suddenly it turned out that no, he wasn't taking over the Blues job, but he was taking over a job in the NHL, and he was taking over the Edmonton job. So it was kind of weird timing, because two coaches being fired in such a close proximity of each other that some thought Ken was going to take the Blues job, but before you knew it, he'd taken the Oilers job. So I guess, you know, he's a local guy, and I think at this point in his life, he turned 67 yesterday. He could have went back to St. Louis. He speaks highly of it. It would have been an easy fit. But if he had a chance to work for St. Louis, I think he took the Edmonton opportunity because just of his history, and I'm not sure there are many of us, Frank, I'm a hometown guy, that don't like the opportunity at some point in your life, your career, to work at home.
One of the things he's done really well throughout his career, especially initially when he takes over, is get the stars aligned with him. He used to tell us that he likes to have a group of three or four kind of be the leadership committee and let them kind of run the team in a sense. What about his rapport with Connor McDavid?
Yeah, well, it's pretty good, I think, so far. I mean, he's double-shifted Connor. You know, Connor's numbers haven't dwindled or taken any kind of a hit under Hitch, who was, I think, 4 weeks ago today was when he was hired by the Oilers. So I think that he's implementing that, Frank, despite Ken's experience. You know, you jump into a situation, the season is underway, you are trying to get to know everybody personally, even though you know them as hockey players. Some you may have coached. I think there's only a couple guys, Kyle Brodziak, Chris Russell, that Ken had previously coached when he was with the Blues. So a lot's been going on, but he does believe that when it comes to a leadership group. And Connor McDavid is the captain of the team. He may not be the most vocal player on the team necessarily, but he's your point person if you're the head coach, along with a couple other players. So what he's done in the past, including what he did in regards to building St. Louis, is what he's attempting to do as well with Edmonton.
Gene, tell our listening audience a little bit about Connor McDavid, what makes him tick. I hear he's like the most humble, gracious superstar you'll ever know.
Yeah, you know what? He is happy to talk about everybody else but himself. And the problem is when you win two Art Ross trophies for being the league scoring champ and a Hart trophy, and you're in the midst of winning potentially another scoring title, a lot of people want to talk about him to him. But he's most comfortable sort of shedding that and sharing that with his teammates. He's a really nice kid, Frank. You know, we always talk about first impressions. You only get one chance to make it. It was 2015, and I was at the draft, and my hotel key wouldn't work. So we were sort of in line at the same time. But I deferred to him. It was pretty close, right? It was one of those, could be him, could be me. And I said, you know, you go ahead. He was at the front desk trying to get something done. He's like, no, you go. I go, no, Connor, you go. In fact, you're busier than me. You're about to be drafted first overall in a couple hours, and, you know, got lots going on. No. He insisted I go first. And it was just, you know, he's a kid. He was 18, and I just thought it was a very polite, way to handle things. And, you know, would I say that I would have thought less of him if he had jumped ahead and went? No. But I just thought it was a really nice way for him to sort of make a first impression with me. And he comes from very humble, hardworking parents. He's kind of brought up the old-fashioned way, and I have not seen how lots of attention and lots of money has really changed him at all.
Gene Gutfeld, you're a hockey guy. Do you think, you know, 15 years from now, we'll be saying Connor McDavid in the same breath with Gretzky and Lemieux, or will he be maybe a notch below but way up there with like a Brett Hall?
Yeah, I think, Frank, because of the way the game has changed, it's difficult to have, 200-point seasons or 180-point seasons if you're a player or score 92 goals or, 80-some goals. So I don't know if he'll ever have the numbers of Mario Lemieux or the goal-scoring seasons that Brett Hall had or the overall points that Wayne Gretzky had. But he's going to be up there, Frank. I have no doubt that when this is all said and done for him in, let's say, 15 years or more, he's going to be considered one of the greatest of all time.
And then before we let you go, how about just a perception on what's gone wrong with the Blues? I know you've seen them up close and personal and you follow the league. I mean, we're kind of stunned here because after that, free agency deadline began, Doug Armstrong began it with a bang. There's guys with great resumes on this roster, and it's just been a brutal season. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, I got to admit, Frank, I've been shocked at what happened to the Blues, and I've been shocked at what's happened to the Blues since the coaching change. And, you know, I know all your listeners are quite well aware of what Craig Berube said a couple of days ago after the most recent loss against Calgary. I mean, it doesn't get more clear than that. And I think if Craig hadn't had over 300 NHL fights and 3,100 plus penalty minutes, someone might say something to him. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd have the guts to do that, Frank. I'm not sure anybody has the guts to do that. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Craig and his lineup comes out tonight, because I'm sure they'll want to make up for a not-so-enjoyable afternoon against Calgary a couple of days ago.
Good stuff. We'll be watching tonight, Gene. We really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, pal.
All righty. Gene Principe, Edmonton Television, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Darren Sunkett, find out about some of his star players. He has some great juniors, some Jeff Thomas thoughts on his success. We'll do that in just a couple of minutes. But before we go to break, I do want to tell you about our good friends at Dr. Jones's office. Dr. Michael Jones is regarded as one of the great eye surgeons in the country. He's with Quantum Vision Centers. He practices on both sides of the river. And what he can do for you is get rid of the contacts and glasses for the rest of your life. You just had that laser surgery done. He's the king of this. Does it better than anybody. Does it smoothly. No pain at all. It's just a great feeling to just get rid of the glasses, get rid of the contacts forever. So if you are having any type of eye issues, Dr. Michael Jones, 866-260-EYES, 866-260-EYES. We'll take a short time out. Darren Sunkett, when we come back.